Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. And just trust. Believe.
I Saw a UFO with My Sister by Kale Chips. When I was younger, I was at a party late at night. Being a Mexican, obviously there were tons of family members, kids running around in the jumper out front, and parents drunkenly singing in the back. It was one of those houses where the driveway is beside the house, so there's this big area to the side of the house that was clear and led to the garage in the back. The front gate was very visible to the people in the back, and the jumper was to the side of the front gate on the grass. All of this is very important to the context of the story, which is why I added it. Anyway, as we were at this party, already late at night, I was around the jumper, and for whatever reason, I decided to stand in front of the gate. I looked up into the night sky, and lo and behold, there was a UFO right above the party. It looked exactly like the typical Hollywood UFO design. It spun around, had circular lights around the perimeter, it was disc-shaped, and it was looming above. However, after a few seconds, it eventually zoomed off to the north-northeast. After it zoomed off, I looked back down to my left to see my sister looking up as well. We looked at each other at the same time and asked, "Did you see that?" She nodded and said that she did. I then looked around and I noticed that my cousin and the other kids had still been playing, unbothered, as if nothing had even happened. No one else saw anything. It was as if my sister and I had been given a vision and nobody else had. It was strange. After we saw this UFO, we went around asking anyone else if they had seen it. I don't remember much, but I do remember going up to my mom to ask her, and obviously she shrugged it off as some kid with an overactive imagination. Another thing I remember is my sister and I loving to add our own details to stories, starting to form some story about how the UFO in the sky was actually some Disney ride that people could sit inside and ride it or whatever. I even remember thinking up an image reminiscent of a Disney commercial, as child me liked to create visual images and stories. After all of this, we just went on with our lives. Years later, I somehow remembered this memory and decided to ask my sister about it. When I asked, her eyes widened, and she said that she did remember. I told her what I remembered, and she said that she pretty much remembered every detail, looking up, seeing the UFO, then it disappearing. She weirdly doesn't remember the specific detail about it zooming off, though. In short, she confirmed that we both did see the UFO. I'm a very measured individual when it comes to looking at evidence like this. I'm a Catholic who came to faith through Christian apologetics, which has enlightened me on the subject of eyewitness testimony and things of the like. Along with that, objective truth is very important to me, even drawing me to falter in my faith, though I'm even stronger in my faith than ever. Anyways, I digress. This isn't the faith without evidence kind of situation that you may think. What is strange to me is that both my sister and I genuinely remember this and can attest to seeing it. It's not foggy to me like a dream or an imaginative thought would be. Only foggy in the way a memory of going to my cousin's house is. It's memory to me. It happened. It was just long ago, and my sister and I remember it well. Is there anything that could explain this? Only my sister and I remember it and can attest to seeing it. But it was so real. I remember too many details. I could even draw what I saw. How is it possible that we both saw the same thing? Does it sound too much like those supernatural stories of twins telepathically doing things, or those stories of a specific group of people receiving some kind of revelation? Well, it happened and I experienced it. Could there be an external force? If anyone sees this, please ask questions or give answers. By the way, this happened in LA, so it would be strange that no one else saw it. I'm looking for answers, and I find memory strange, but I'm open to suggestions, even ones that go against my memory.
Unknown Transmissions by Greg H55. I enjoy listening to the stories on here, especially ones involving road trips. I did dispatch for a small trucking outfit out of Alliance, Nebraska for about 6 years after I hurt my back loading cargo and couldn't drive anymore myself. It was me and a woman named Rita. We were splitting the overnight desk. The company ran mostly grain trailers and the occasional flatbed hauling agriculture equipment down to dealers in Colorado and Wyoming. We weren't big, maybe 9 trucks total. This would have been the spring of 96, around March. We had a guy driving for us named Wes. Wes had been with the company on and off for years. Good driver. He knew every mile marker between Alliance and Chadron, because he'd run that route so many times. He had this habit on the radio where, instead of just giving his location, he'd say something like, "Wes here, coming up on 22, empty and lonely." Same phrasing every time. It used to make Rita roll her eyes because it ate up airtime. We had to let Wes go about 3 weeks before this happened. He got a second DUI on his own time in his own truck, and the insurance company told the owner he couldn't stay on our policy. So on to the story. It took place at around 11 o'clock at night. I'm alone in the trailer, and Rita is outside smoking. The radio does its normal static. And then somebody keys up and says, word for word, "Coming up on 22, empty and lonely." It was Wes's voice. Not almost his voice, his voice, with that flat way he had of running his words together. I picked up the mic without even thinking and said, "Go ahead," or something like that. Nothing came back. I tried again a couple of times, and there was nothing, just the regular hiss. Rita came in about a minute later, and I asked if she'd heard it. She said she'd heard somebody key up, but hadn't caught what they said because she was already outside. I told her what I thought I heard. She didn't make much of it. She said radio skip does weird things, especially during that time of the year. You could sometimes pick up trailers from states away, so maybe it was another driver somewhere who happened to sound like Wes. She wasn't wrong. I'd heard plenty of strange transmissions before. I logged it anyway and wrote something like, "Unknown transmission, sounded like W2305 in the book." A couple of days later, one of our drivers told me Wes had gotten on with an outfit out of Scott's Bluff after we let him go. Then he told me Wes had rolled his truck on a patch of black ice out past Bridgeport the same night I heard him. From what I understood, he didn't die at the scene. He was badly hurt and he passed away at the hospital sometime the next day. That's where the timing gets muddy. A few days later, I called the company Wes worked for. I asked if they knew what time the accident happened. The gentleman I spoke to said they got the call from the troopers right before 11. So that means the crash had to have happened much sooner than 11:05 when I logged it. It's not even the voice that I keep thinking about. It's that nobody answered when I keyed back. Usually when we pick up Skip, there'd be more chatter afterward, or we'd catch another transmission from the same direction. Nobody else that night said they heard anything. I don't know what that means, if it means anything at all. But I still remember that logbook entry, almost word for word, which is more than I can say for most nights I worked out there.
When we were kids, summer meant freedom. No homework, no teachers, no school. And as adults, summer still means freedom, thanks to Mint Mobile's summer sale. Right now, all of Mint's plans are $15 per month, even unlimited. So free yourself from big wireless and their gimmicks and gotchas and switch to Mint for high-speed data and coverage on the T-Mobile 5G network. Switching to Mint was one of those decisions that just made sense the moment that I did it. The savings were real and immediate, and honestly, the service has been just as solid as what I had before, probably even better. No contracts, no surprise charges, no headaches. I use Mint Mobile and you should too. Mint Mobile took what's wrong with wireless and made it right. Premium wireless for just $15 a month. Bring your own phone and your number. Choose from 3, 6, or 12-month plans and say goodbye to a monthly bill. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/trails. That's mintmobile.com/trails. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/trails. That's it. No catch. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, $90 for 6 months, and $180 for 12 months. Plan required $15 per month equivalent, taxes and fees extra. Initial plan term only. Greater than 50 gigabyte may slow when network is busy. Includes up to 20 gigabyte hotspot. Capable device required. Availability, speed, and coverage varies. See mintmobile.com. An unknown forest entity. By Outrageous Agency 7865. This encounter happened on May 25th in eastern Norway. I'm 20 years old. I was walking through the forest alone, close to where I live. I heard a bunch of weird noises that I couldn't really make sense of. I don't really know how to explain them. I've never heard anything like it. But as I was walking, I got to a clearing and decided to walk through it and into the forest on the other side. I say clearing, but it was quite dense in vegetation. It was a clearing in the sense that there were no trees, just a lot of bushes and stuff. Not the easiest thing to walk through. But as I made it a little over halfway through the bushes, there was an actual clearing with only grass, like a little circle. And there was this weird white stuff on some of the grass. There were also a few cut tree stumps, probably from when they chopped down all the trees in that area. But I walked through the rest of the bush and made it back into the forest. I kept walking for a minute and suddenly felt something. As I turned to the right, I saw what looked like the head of a moose, only about 50 meters away. I completely stopped and stood there looking at it, trying to figure out if it was a moose or just some vegetation in the shape of a moose head. After a couple of seconds, it moved up a bit to make eye contact with me. It was definitely an animal, but it seemed too big, way too big. A moose's head is usually around 60 to 65 centimeters long, but this was well over a meter. I've never seen anything like it. It just sat there staring at me while I stood there staring back. I lost the staring contest, and I turned around and left the forest. It felt like I wasn't welcome there, almost like what I saw was the ruler of the forest. And this made me think of that movie, The Ritual, one of my favorite movies. Maybe what I saw was some kind of forest god. I'm not saying it was, but I'm not ruling it out. Let me know if any of you have theories. I'd love to know what you think, or if you've had a similar encounter. I do want to note that I only ever saw the head of the creature, as it was presumably lying down behind a hill with only the head poking up. It didn't have antlers, which made me think it was a female. Also, when I lost the staring contest, I turned around to leave, and it didn't take more than 2 steps for me to not be able to see it anymore. I could only see it from exactly where I was standing. It wasn't at all visible from any other angle on the path that I walked. Now, I have another encounter, but it happened last summer, and I'm only writing it out because I just had that previous encounter. My dad and I went on a roughly 400-kilometer drive to the west side of Norway to pick up a car from my sister. On the way back home, I was driving the little yellow Mini Cooper that we had picked up, and my dad drove his Subaru in front of me. We took the whole trip without any rest stops to save time. We had made pretty good progress on the way home when it started to get a bit darker, since it was about 1 or 2 a.m. Norwegian summer nights don't get really dark too far north, so visibility wasn't too bad. The road was quite narrow and not at all straight, with constant turns to the left and right, down from quite a mountainous area. On the way down, we saw a couple of moose on the road, right next to a forest. A bit further down the road, I spotted what I thought was another moose and told my dad. We were on the phone pretty much the whole way. He was about 100 meters in front of me and didn't see the animal. I saw it when I entered a left turn around a bend and realized almost immediately that it was not a moose. I thought at first that it was some kind of deer. It was only a couple of meters away from my car at the closest, but it was quite massive. It looked young, though, which I thought was weird for such a big animal. I had never seen a deer before, so I wasn't sure that's what it was, and it didn't quite look like any other animal that I know of. So I didn't really think about it right then and there. But when I got home, I Googled Norwegian deer. I realized it looked nothing like one. After a lot more Googling, I found out that there are only 4 species in the deer family in Norway: roe deer, red deer, moose, and reindeer. There's also the fallow deer, an introduced non-native species with very restricted localized wild populations. Now, the animal I saw that day didn't look like any of them. It almost looked like a combination of all of them, in a way, but I'm not really sure. It was at least 2 meters tall at the top of the head. It didn't have any antlers, and the face almost looked baby-like, slightly round and chubby. Its fur was also quite light-colored, almost like sand, but a bit more orangish or brownish. The head wasn't shaped like a moose's head. It wasn't long. The legs were long and quite thin, though. The body wasn't fat, but it looked like a healthy weight for whatever animal it was. The animal was facing me, and we made eye contact for a brief moment. I was driving 50 kilometers at the time, if I remember correctly. I saw the animal for maybe 5 seconds. Not a very long time, but more than enough time to know what it looked like. It never moved while I watched it. It just stood still, looking at me as I drove by. I've thought about this encounter many times since it happened. Again, I would love to hear theories about what it could be. If you've encountered a similar creature, I would love to hear about it.
Did my sister call me from the Twilight Zone? by Denise. So I was sitting in the pickup line at my son's school, waiting for him to get out. I started scrolling on my phone when I noticed a call from my sister from a few minutes earlier. My phone doesn't ring when I drive unless they call back twice. As I was about to call her back, I got a text from her that just said, "Call me, bitch." And just so you know, we say that with love. But when I called, she sounded confused and said that she didn't call me. I told her I had a missed call from her and a text from her. She said she left her phone on silent and in her desk drawer for most of the day, since she had to spend most of her time in another office, where there wasn't really any reception. She checked her phone while we were talking and said there weren't any outgoing calls to me, and no text. We thought it was some weird phone issue and moved on, and started talking about something else. After we hung up, though, I checked to see if there was a voicemail, and there was. It was super short. It sounded like my sister, except her voice was kind of far away, like she wasn't holding the phone up to her face. I could hear her say something like, "Denise, you need to..." Then the rest was garbled and it cut off. I only listened to it once because I was pulling up next in line at school, and my son's teacher was about to open the door for him. Then he immediately started telling me about something that happened at school, so I wasn't really paying attention to the voicemail anymore. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe it was an older voicemail or something that took a while to come through. That night I randomly thought about it and decided to listen again. I mostly wanted to understand what she said after, "You need." But the voicemail was gone. I checked deleted messages and everything else I could think of, but it wasn't there. The missed call was still in my log, but there wasn't any voicemail attached to it anymore. That really bothered me. I decided to drop it, at least for the time being. But later that week, I logged into my cell provider's website to see if there was anything there. I could find the call, but nothing about a voicemail. I took a picture of the screen and texted it to my sister, along with a screenshot of her text, which only showed up as her number and not her contact. Then I said, "Maybe you called me from the Twilight Zone." She said she didn't remember calling me or texting me that message, and she didn't like that I kept bringing it up. Obviously, she couldn't explain it. She thought it was probably some kind of scam or spoofed call, and that I was reading too far into it. But I know I heard her voice, telling me I needed to do something. Hopefully it's not important. This happened about a month ago.
Out of This World Mall Pizza by 413 Hooli. The unexplained event in question took place way back in the mid-90s. It was a rainy Saturday morning, and my dad asked if I wanted to take a ride out to a very small rural mall by the university up north, not our usual huge one in the city. We headed up there, and we hit up all the cool stores and the arcade for a bit. As we were getting ready to leave, we saw one of those walk-in mall-style pizzerias. My dad asked if I wanted a slice, to which I responded, "Sure, what kid doesn't want pizza?" This is where it gets really weird. We walked into the pizza joint, and immediately, I noticed a change in everything. The place had a blue tint to it. It was significantly colder, and the noise was slightly muted and muffled. As if that wasn't enough, everyone in there stopped doing what they were doing and stared at us. I looked at my dad, one of the most logical, grounded, rational individuals that I know. And even he had this what-the-fuck look plastered on his face. We ordered the pizza, sat down, and noticed people were still kind of staring and watching us intently. It was weird, especially this one guy in the corner with the pork pie hat and shades. He hit us with the creepiest smile. Long story short, we scarfed the pizza down pretty quickly and headed out. The second we got out of that place, the feeling lifted immediately, and overall the vibe was back to normal again. The light was regular, and the cold subsided, and the sound returned to normal. Here's where it gets kind of nuts. Years later, I was telling friends about it, and they said, "Let's go up to that place and check it out." We headed up, tore the mall apart, and couldn't find it. I ended up asking an older gentleman working maintenance about it, and he said, "There hasn't been a pizza place like that here in 30 years, which made the hair on my arms and neck stand straight up. I got home and told my dad, who responded, "Doesn't surprise me. Wherever we went that day wasn't here."
Your Bag is Downstairs by Anna Banana. This happened almost 8 years ago, and I still really don't understand it. I used to travel a few times a year for work. This happened when I was staying at a hotel outside of Columbus, Ohio. I got back from dinner at around 8 and called my husband. After we talked, I watched TV for a while and caught up on some work emails. At some point, I realized I needed the receipt from dinner to log the expense, which was in my purse. But I couldn't find my purse. I knew I had brought it upstairs because my room key was inside of it, and I specifically remembered using it to open my hotel room. I checked the desk, bathroom, next to the bed, everywhere. Then I started wondering if I somehow had dropped it in the hallway after opening the door. I opened the door and looked outside. There was a woman standing farther down the hallway. She was probably around my age, maybe a little older, with dark hair. She had a rolling suitcase next to her and looked like she was either coming or going. When I looked back up, that woman was staring at me. I smiled and was about to casually mention what I was doing, but before I said a word, she said, "You left it downstairs," in a very matter-of-fact tone. I was like, "What?" Then she pointed toward the elevators and said, "Your bag is downstairs." I remember laughing because I was embarrassed and saying something like, "Oh, thank you. I'm losing my mind." She smiled but didn't say anything else. I went back into my room, put my shoes on, and headed downstairs. While I was waiting for the elevator, I remember wondering how she knew I was looking for my purse. If she saw me with it downstairs, why didn't she say something when I left it behind? When I got to the front desk, the guy working there asked if I was looking for my purse, before I even told him I had misplaced it. That seemed weird to ask, but maybe that's just me. Why not just hold on to it until the owner comes looking for it? I also had my business card inside, which had my cell phone number on it. But at least everything was still inside. And then I asked him where it was found. He said somebody had brought it in after finding it outside, near one of the side entrances. I told him I was sure I had brought it upstairs, because my room key was inside the purse, and I used it to get into my room. He basically just shrugged and asked if I was sure I hadn't taken the key out and put it in my pocket or something. I guess that's possible, but I still don't think so. Then I remembered the woman upstairs. I asked if a woman with dark hair had brought the purse down. He said he didn't know, because another employee had been the one who took it from whoever found it. When I went back upstairs, I looked around for the woman, but she was gone. I was confused, but mostly tired, so I just went to bed. The next morning when I checked out, the same guy was at the front desk. I asked if he ever found out who brought my purse in, because I wanted to thank the woman if she was still at the hotel. He called over another employee who had apparently been working when it was turned in. She remembered my purse, but when I asked about the woman, she said, "No, it was a man." I thought maybe I misunderstood her, so I said, "A man?" She confirmed and said yes. Some guy in a white hat brought it in, handed her the purse, and said he found it outside. I told her about the woman upstairs, and how she had told me my bag was downstairs. She said maybe the woman had seen the guy pick it up outside, or saw him bring it in. I guess that makes sense. I tried to really reconstruct in my head what I had done when I came back from dinner. I had my purse with me at the restaurant. I got out of the car at the hotel and went inside. I took the elevator upstairs. And I remembered standing at my hotel door, digging through my purse for the room key. I threw it in there instead of putting it back in my wallet. That part I feel pretty sure about. So how did the purse end up outside afterward? And the woman didn't ask me if I lost something. She straight up asked about losing my bag, and knew it was downstairs. I mentioned the whole thing to my husband when I got home. He said the obvious answer was that I somehow left my purse outside. Somebody found it, and the woman upstairs had seen or heard something about it. I asked how she would have known it was mine. He said maybe she saw me with it earlier, which I told him I thought was possible. I don't remember seeing her before that, but it was a hotel, so I wasn't exactly paying attention to every person I walked past. It bothers me that I can come up with some explanations for almost every part of it, but I still have to make these little assumptions to get there. Maybe she recognized me, and then happened to be standing near my room when I came out looking for it. It's still so weird, standing there in that hallway, not saying a word, and this stranger, who I never saw, telling me what I was looking for was downstairs, and she was somehow right.
All right, jumping into the feedback, Kiki, like the name, says that they're not Michelle. It's a weird way to start. But I'm fairly sure I recognize this podcast and the episode as Two Girls, One Ghost, episode 16. Okay, so yeah, Michelle was talking about last week an episode of a podcast that they wouldn't name for some reason. And it seems that Kiki is aware of what it is, as I just started re-listening to all of their episodes since I ran out of new ones on all my favorites. And yes, I re-listened to this and Let's Not Meet also pretty often. I always find some new perspectives. I don't re-listen to podcasts all that much. I like a good best of episode on some of the ones that I do listen to, but I don't really go back and re-listen to you.
No, I don't think I've ever done that. It's not like a book or a movie for me, but not to say I don't like podcasts as much. There are some really good ones, obviously, but no, not like a re-listen type of thing.
There's some good ones. None of them, obviously, as good as this one at all.
Right, yeah.
I don't think any of them, any of them are. Yeah. I am familiar with Two Girls, One Ghost. I'm pretty sure I've worked with them in some capacity.
We worked with them. We did like an ad swap. I know that much.
I think I might have even had them on Let's Not Meet. Who knows? I feel like I've had everybody on that show at some point. But yeah, Two Girls, One Ghost. Good podcast. Check it out.
And then Milk Milk Baby. I swear, people are making these names just to make us giggle. But referencing last episode, the mass surveillance through flock cameras is scary. Yes, it is. Did you see the lady who was accused of stealing a package in another town because a cop tracked her license plate through flock passing through? insane. Yes, I did see that, and absolutely insane. I really hate how the cop was like, well, she was asking, so can you like show me some proof or whatever? I'm trying to understand this. And the cop is just like, well, I'm not going to extend any courtesy to you if you're not going to cooperate with me. And I hate the whole you're not cooperating type of thing. Having a conversation, exercising basic rights respectfully, like, get out of here with that.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of cases like that. There was the guy that crossed state lines and purchased weed in a different state.
Ooh.
And yeah, Flock followed him, arrested him. But they're also like, they're also cops using Flock to like stalk ex-girlfriends and ex-wives and stuff, man.
Yeah.
This is the problem. Everybody's always like, well, if you got nothing to hide, what's the problem? It's like, no. You're expecting everybody to be on the level of morality that you are. Like,
right,
you don't have to be doing something bad for somebody to be using a surveillance system to monitor you and to use it against you. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody has the best of intentions. In fact, most people do not.
Yeah, it's all out of principle, really. We do not need that.
Exactly. Hate these things. Danny says, I haven't smoked cigarettes in 10 years. Congratulations.
Nice.
But in my dreams, I still smoke. I often have dreams that are cigarette-based. Now, the first statement makes sense. I have dreams where I still smoke, but I often have dreams that are cigarette-based. I wonder what that means. Like, do they dream that they're a cigarette?
I think he must have worked for Winston-Salem in another life.
Yeah, I've never had a dream where I still smoked, and I didn't really smoke. It was just kind of like a phase that I went through every once in a while.
Yeah, early 20s drinking type of thing.
Yeah, when I would drink, or like I would go through a phase where I would do it a little bit, and then I would stop for a long period. It was never like a real thing for me. So maybe that's why.
Maybe.
But I do have dreams where I still drink. That's weird.
Yeah, I have too. And it's kind of fun in the dream, just being a little buzzed or whatever. But then I wake up and I feel almost ashamed of myself. Oh no, you broke your almost 2-year streak, which wouldn't even be a big deal for me. It's not some relapse recovery type of thing.
But I do miss the first part of drinking, like finishing a beer and just like that nice light feeling. But then I hate, even after one beer, I hate how you feel after an hour. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just the worst. It's the worst. It's never worth it. It's never worth it.
Yeah.
At least for me.
MVP from Patreon says, referencing episode 245, the story by Gary, the bucket story, I thought the bellboy prank was kind of funny, LOL, but the meat bucket, that's so effing weird. You are right about that.
Yeah, and it's weird that they would bring that up, considering our stories this week.
Yeah, no, totally weird, and it's worth talking about Gary's story again, a little late than never, but... So I did look this up. There is some folklore involving leaving food out for household spirits or other supernatural beings to keep them satisfied, I guess. But you basically just leave out an offering. It leaves you alone as a result. But I couldn't find anything specific to London, and nothing with a meat bucket. Usually it's things like milk, bread, porridge, fish and chips, I don't know, whatever else they eat there.
I could see this happening in one of the rural areas of like England.
Yeah, something rural.
But in London, that's very weird.
Really weird, yeah. I don't know. Maybe Jack the Ripper really wanted to eat some raw meat.
Yeah.
I don't even know when he died or when that all took place off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure it was 19th century.
Yeah, for sure.
It was 1888 from Google overview.
Okay.
So do with that what you will.
You think you could have gotten away with crime back then? Or like the medieval times?
Yeah, way back in the medieval times, it's probably a lot easier to get away with crimes.
Yeah, their whole system was just entirely based off of superstition and the assumption that people would actually follow polite society's rules with religious institutions and obeying the kings and queens and being a upstanding knight or else. Like, it was a weird time back then.
Yeah. Have you seen the movie The Name of the Rose? Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was Sean Connery?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I watched it this year for the first time. I remember my dad really liking it when I was a kid, but I wasn't all that interested in it. It's like, I bring this up because we talked about Jack the Ripper, which reminds me of Sherlock Holmes and that the whole like Victorian era. And because it's kind of a Sherlock Holmes story. It's interesting. He, like, Sean Connery's character is basically Sherlock Holmes, and he has like a Watson that he takes with him to solve this murder mystery. It's very good, and I highly recommend it. It's really gross.
I like it a lot. Second recommendation. So back to the whole meat bucket thing. I think the idea of it being some elaborate prank, like Gary was suggesting, of course, that goes without saying, that's even creepier, sneaking into somebody's occupied room at night. But it was also the 70s, so maybe there's something to say about it was a different time. So maybe bellboy staff would sneak into people's rooms in the 70s and they were just really bored. But I don't know. I do not know.
Yeah, it makes me think. I just got a new practice space that I'm renting out at a complex. And the person who's in charge of the place says, oh, by the way, we do routine checks. So I'm just going to pop my head in every once in a while. If you have the door locked, I'm going to unlock it and I'm going to come inside. I don't want you to think that I'm being intrusive or anything. It's just the policy. We have to check to make sure nobody's sleeping here. I'm like, well, I'm going to be practicing like during the day. And he's like, yeah, I do it during the day too. I'm like, okay, I guess that's what? Okay.
Yeah, want to make sure nobody's sleeping here, but I'm going to pop my head in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's weird. Why not just get cameras at that point?
It's a weird place. Yeah. So I want to talk about my weird pizza place story. This is a cool one. It reminds me of that creepy gas station store story that I bring up all the time with that weird back room.
The mannequin stuff?
Yeah. It was filled with mannequins. And I know I bring it up all the time, but it's just one of those stories that stuck with me. I don't know why. It's just very visually memorable for me.
It is.
Yeah. It's like these people are stepping into time traveling portals, like End of Oak Street. Have you seen that one yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, it's good. It's a director that did It Follows.
Okay. Yeah. I remember it being on my list.
It's a dinosaur movie. It's pretty good. I liked it. Hmm. But this story also kind of reads like a dream. It's like a room full of strangers and they all stop and look at you and stare in unison, kind of like when you realize you're dreaming. Plus there's that one very specific cartoonish character that's, you know, ominous. The guy with the shades and the pork pie hat.
Yep.
Like, that creeps me out for some reason. I have a vision in my head and it's very disturbing.
I like bowler hats. They're a little bit less creepy.
What's the difference between a bowler and a pork pie?
I haven't heard of a pork pie, so they very well may be the same thing. I've never heard it called a pork pie.
I'm pretty sure they are. A pork pie is kind of like a fedora.
Oh.
But not quite. It's flat.
Okay, no, yeah. A bowler hat is basically this, but rounded and has like it's curved around the brim.
I see. Okay, yeah, it's very similar. Okay. Yeah, and a pork pie, I remember like during the 2000s, late 90s, ska bands would always be wearing that shit.
Yeah.
But for some reason, a guy wearing a pork pie hat and sunglasses and smiling is creepy. I don't know why. But I do love that the dad responded at the end, like the last line of the story, and he says, wherever we went that day, it wasn't here. It's like the end of a Goosebumps episode. It was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the maintenance guy's line also is kind of Scooby-Doo-ish. He's like, there hasn't been a walk-in pizza place here in 30 years. I don't know. He probably wasn't an old guy, but I just imagine him like an old guy with a beard just walking around with a broom.
And just vanishes away into the evening, not to be seen again either.
Yeah, it was a very entertaining story, so I had to include it.
Oh, yeah, anything with a mall, the 90s, pizza, that's just the ultimate triad right there.
Sometimes I'll go to the mall just to get Sbarro because it still holds up. Like, it still feels like the same pizza we were eating when we were kids.
Yeah, a little nostalgic. And on that note about the 90s, how about that unknown transmission story from Greg? I really like the outdoor trucking. Well, obviously it's outdoor, but trucking stories. I think the most obvious thing to be mentioned here is just the fact that Greg heard the transmission, that radio call, come in before Wes had died. In the other company, it was way off about the time.
Yeah.
I can't think of an explanation for Wes's voice transmitting through, because it's not like a computer or an iPod or whatever where the wrong audio file could play. So unless somebody felt like playing back a recording of Wes's voice as a joke, which doesn't make sense. Yeah, and in the 90s, how would they know who? It doesn't make any sense. So very unlikely. I don't think that's the case. Even if it was somebody who sounded like Wes, that whole phrase, coming up on 22, empty and lonely, something that he only really did.
Yeah.
I don't know. do not know.
Yeah. Yeah, it made me want to, again, recommend this episode of the Old Time Radio Cast. It's Welcome to Homerville. Make sure you check that out. Shameless plug here, because it's a story very similar to this. I love these lonely trucker, dark highway stories. They're so creepy.
They are.
Let's wrap things up with this deer story. And the reason I want to bring it up is because you think that you can explain it away, but then you start thinking about other details. And you're like, no, wait, that doesn't quite add up. So while I am still leaning towards some kind of cryptid, which we'll get to, there is a possibility that it could be a moose calf. And I did some research on the different deer species in that area that they talked about. And they do look fairly similar to what the author describes. Moose calves are like leggy, as they described it. They have those rounder, less elongated faces than the adults. They don't have antlers. They're lighter and more reddish tan coats than the darker brown that like adult moose have. So I was thinking that's probably what they're seeing. However, they do still very much look like a moose, and the size doesn't really track with the size of a baby moose. They said it was bigger than a moose. That wouldn't make any sense. But beyond that, I think that the weirdest part is how the thing just kind of disappears from their view depending on where they stand. It's almost like they're seeing into like a different dimension or something, depending on where they're at. You know, it could be that they just had a better line of sight over the hill and is based on their position, but that's not really how the author explains it. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, and the fact that both creatures looked almost like some sort of familiar wildlife out there, but the proportions were obviously way off, and the repeated eye contact, I think it's not something random. It's just somebody or something was watching the author.
Yeah, and it's strange that it happened twice to the author and the dad didn't see it. So it's like a personal thing. It's almost like, I don't want to compare it to like Men in Black, but it's the same idea that, you know, somebody's watching him. He's being gang stalked by these baby moose, these giant baby moose.
There are worse things to be stalked by.
That's true. That's true. Guys with bowler hats and sunglasses and pizza.
And switchblades.
Yeah. Well, anyways, thanks everybody so much. If you have a story to share, make sure you send it to stories@oddtrails.com. And if you don't like ads, I think the best thing to do is sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails. You'll get ad-free versions of all of the episodes at higher bitrate. Make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcast, Let's Not Meet, and the Old Time Radio Cast. We'll see you next week. Stay safe.
Peace out.
Ghosts and the ghouls disturb you, darling.